ahead and give him that honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, bless your name, bless your name, bless your name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, he is here, praise the Lord. It's his table, and he's joined us at his table this morning. If you turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah 53, continue to pray for those we're praying for. Hoffman Sappington family, Brother Heath's family, amen. Sister Rose, Sister Redmond, others that we're bringing up to the Lord in prayer, amen. Come early and pray tonight. Let's just expect the Lord to continue to move in our hearts and our lives. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, I want to encourage you to keep your scripture open after we've read. I just want to share a communion meditation this morning. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. No one can blame others for Jesus' death on the cross without pointing their finger at themselves, because he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I want us to look back at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Now, I just read the report to you. But who hath believed that report? I want to preach this morning, regardless of what's happening. I want to preach this morning. We still have this report. Oh, aren't you glad for the report? We still have this report. Would you pray together with me and for me this morning? Father, I pray there be a continuation of the moving of your eternal Spirit. Lord, just shut up our hearts to the truth, Lord. Lord, shut out this world. Shut out every distraction. May we sense a holy moment. May we sense an eternal moment. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need your presence here. Lord, may the preaching this morning exalt the Savior, uplift the Savior. Lord, may our hearts be helped and strengthened by your word before we receive communion this morning. Holy Spirit, be here in a marked way. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel like we need to praise him again. Let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. I give thanks to you, Jesus. I uplift your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. We still have this report. I'm going to tell you this, not to solicit any sympathy, but just to tell you the story. It's been one of those weeks, and Tuesday night, I lay awake most of the night. But the interesting thing about that, and you insomniacs, you know how miserable that is, but the interesting thing is all night long, all I kept hearing, like a record player that's stuck, all I could hear all night long is, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hadn't been reading that or anything. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Who hath believed our report? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was up. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? All night long and somewhere in the night, I heard this in my heart. Whatever happens, tragic and otherwise, whatever difficulties we face as a people, whatever perplexities and questions that we're encountering, one thing about it, we still have this report. The Lord hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. What that is in a nutshell, it's the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was thinking of the horrible things people are suffering, and I was thinking of others, how they're getting themselves in some difficult, horrible messes. And I heard in my soul, the help and the comfort still comes from this report. Hallelujah. You say, wait a minute. Isn't that gruesome? What we read about, the suffering, the pain, isn't that gruesome? Thinking about the cross, isn't that gruesome? Yes, I must agree. It's gruesome. You may ask that question, well, how then does it help? I don't know if I can explain it to you or not. Being gruesome, being suffering itself, how does it help? But one thing I do know, it does help. Whoever hears a report, something happens in their heart. If you hear and believe this report, amen, it's what we need again. Amen. I don't try in light of recent losses suffered by those of our church family. Amen. I don't begin to try to give explanations or answers or any of those things. But I can tell you, as this church and this people, I can tell you as the pastor, when I struggle with what has happened, when I seek on a personal level to give comfort, when I think about preaching or speaking, all I can think about is Jesus himself has suffered unimaginably, horribly in his crucifixion, death, and pain on the cross. And even though I don't understand it, in that story of the cross, there is help, there is hope, there is healing, there is strength, there is comfort, there is renewed life. Oh, we still have a report. Hallelujah. We still got new good news in the midst of all the bad news. Amen. I want to preach this morning. First of all, as I've been enunciating, I want to look at the portion of the verse that says we still have the report. The prophet said, who hath believed our report? Another way of asking that from what follows is, who would have ever thought that God's salvation would look like this? Like what? Suffering, pain, the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, the one hanging on the cross. Who hath believed our report? Who would ever believed that that is what God's salvation would look like? Maybe a mighty king with a scepter in his hand and the armies of heaven, maybe that would look like God's salvation. But a lonely, disgraced as far as lack of clothing figure hanging on the cross, does that look like God's salvation? Who's going to believe that that is God's salvation? You got to understand, Isaiah first gave this report 2,800 years ago. The interesting thing about that, that is 800 years before that report became a reality. 2,800 years ago, the first giving of this report took place. But I'm telling you, the report is going forth one more time on this Sunday morning. Amen. 2,000 years ago was the foreseen, or was the fulfilling of this report taking place. 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered and died and bled on that cross. 2,000 years ago, the report was fulfilled. But could I tell you, 2,000 years later, amen, on a Sunday morning, once again, I'm given the report. Who hath believed our report? They marched him to the Colosseum. They burned down their houses. They unleashed wild animals upon their children. They staked them out for the lions on the Colosseum floor. And right there, surrounded by those godless pagan spectators, one more time, though they were dying for it, they gave the report of the suffering Savior, the crucified Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we still have this report. And the interesting thing is, wherever this report has been given, whatever people group, whatever land, whatever family, whatever neighborhood, whatever nation, when this report was given, it gave hope to the hopeless. It gave light in the darkness. It warmed the coldness of hardened hearts. It changed lives. It lifted out of the pit. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the report that the Savior has come and shed his blood for the remission of sins. Amen. We've got a lot of bad reports. There are bad reports that hurt us. There are bad reports that sap our zeal. There are bad reports that knock us off of our feet. Yet this report, at first look, it seems negative itself. At first look, this report looks ugly. At first look, this report looks like just some more bad news. But in hearing it, we discover it's not bad news. It's good news. Amen. It may look negative, but look at the positive power that it's had on our lives. Oh, who hath believed our report? I said, who hath believed our report? Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching Jesus, the suffering servant, the crucified one, the wounded healer of our hearts. I think in the church world, great disservice has been done by expunging the suffering Savior out of pop Christianity. Take songs about the blood out of the songbook. Preach positivism. I'm not going to get on that stump. I get on it quite a bit. But I have one question, and take my intent for what it is to help folks. In this modern message of Christianity, I want to ask you something. With the kind of needs that we've had and losses, is the preaching of self-esteem going to help? The kind of suffering that we had, is the preaching of prosperity and wealth, is that going to help you? And it may seem an oxymoron. None of that preaching is going to help. Oh, but if we could hear the report once again. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I may not understand it, but I do know it's the report that people need to hear. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. We've had a lot of attention in the news on Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, who has refused to issue the license for same-sex couples. And I'm not getting into the political thing of that this morning. You know where believers ought to stand. But I'll tell you one thing. I did appreciate her testimony as she was being attacked, amen, for her past life and the sins of her past life. She looked at the reporters and said, amen, I went to church and there I heard the message of God's grace and forgiveness, and my life life has been changed. Hallelujah. Preach prosperity. Preach self-help. Preach self-esteem. It'll never change a life. It'll never change a heart like pointing somebody's attention to the cross of Jesus, where he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad for the suffering servant? Hallelujah. You don't need philosophy. You need to hear the report. Jesus carried our sins. Not only do we still have the report, we still have its revelation. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We start with little kids. Show us your muscle. Reveal their arm. There it is. In Bible times, if you got ready to go to war, if you got ready to work, you rolled up your sleeves because you was getting ready to do something. You was going to show your ability and your power. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know what that means? Who is going to see the power of God at work? I'll make it in a moment, but we got to make it now. The power of God at work, how that happens, is given to us in the report that we just read. Roll up the arms to work, to war, rolling up the sleeves, that was the strength of a person. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, hallelujah, as Isaiah later said, even today, his arm is not shortened, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot say. Once he bared that arm, it's still bared. Once he reached out, it's still reaching out. Once he began to pull out, he's still pulling out. Oh, hallelujah. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's been revealed to those who have heard and received the report of that crucified, suffering servant. Oh, I'm talking about his power. You must ask yourself, amen, what Isaiah did. Look in verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, root out of dry ground. Listen to this. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Look at verse 3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Look at the end of the verse. We esteemed him not. Amen. You must ask yourself, like so many did, as you read this, this suffering, this visage being marred so you can't even recognize him, this despised one, is that the power of God? How can that be the power of God? It makes no rational sense. We said if God wanted to show his power, he should have put on a display with the planets and the stars. If God wanted to show his power, he should have demonstrated with great miracles on earth. Amen. Moving a mountain 10 miles, draining a sea. If God wanted to show his power, it should have been some natural phenomena of supernatural power. And yet, when God got ready to show his power, he showed his power, amen, in a man beat up, so beat up, you wouldn't have recognized him. A man bleeding from all over his body. A man suffering excruciating pain. And God said, right there is my power. Listen, you may not believe that's the power of God, but I'll tell you one thing. Every demon in hell knows that that's the power of God. Hallelujah. You may not understand it until your life's been changed by the blood of Jesus. And then you understand that that suffering of Jesus Christ was a manifestation and demonstration of the ultimate power of God. Oh, let me just like to praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Sounds like a bunch of foolishness to me. It's because you're not letting God talk to you, and you still belong in that classification of those who are perishing because they believe not. So the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it's the power of God. You know, you may not believe this, but I really hurry. I've been hurrying too much through these sermons. And I was going to hurry right on through this. But make no mistake, people misunderstand this. They said the preaching of the cross is foolishness because it looks foolish when people preach, and we do foolish things when we preach. We kick up our feet and we sweat and we holler. But that foolishness of the preaching of the cross is the power of God. No, it's not the foolishness of the delivery of the preaching. It's the subject matter of the preaching that seems foolish. Because it seems foolish to this world that a man so beat up could heal your heart. That a man that died could give you life. That seems foolish. It does. It seems foolish to him. But I want you to know, if you've ever said, "Jesus, thank you for doing it for me. I believe, wash me, cleanse me, save me." If you've ever done that, suddenly it's not foolish. Why? Because you will experience the power of God in your life to change your heart and mind and soul in eternity. It's not foolish anymore. Singing the old rugged cross is not foolish anymore. It's the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. If our nation needs anything, it needs a preaching of the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. The preaching of the cross. It may not make sense, but that's how the power of God is revealed. I've thought many times, I'm still trying to hurry, but I've thought many times, what's the church going to do? It's getting rid of this message. We'll have no power. I'm not talking about this church, the church world. We'll just be another religious organization that accepts every sin that our nation okays, tries to get on board with every social movement that's a happening. I'm telling you why they've come to that place. We've lost the power of God. The power of God isn't in a hop and a screech and a yell. The power of God is in the preaching of the crucified one. There's no other hope, no other healing. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's how he reveals his power. Amen. Amen. The power of God's revealed. Salvation is in what looks like suffering. Power is in what looks like weakness. Healing is in what looks like tearing apart, wrecking and ruining. Deliverance is in what looks like defeat. No wonder Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I tell you, your need this morning, amen, isn't to argue or to discuss or to turn to the philosophies. Your need is to believe this report. If you would believe it, you would find it the power of God to transform you, deliver you, free you, set you free. And so this report, this good news, reveals how we have God's power in our life. It's through the suffering Savior. I won't give it to you historically, but when Jesus suffered on the cross, he was conquering demonic powers, destroying demonic strongholds. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, he was cleansing the deepest stain of the human heart, the stain left by sin. When Jesus was suffering with a broken body, he was healing bodies. When Jesus was in excruciating mental pain, he was healing troubled minds. When Jesus was suffering, he was opening prison doors. He was binding up broken hearts. He was setting at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. He was bruised, but he sets at liberty them that are bruised. That's the power of God that's revealed. In a few moments, we'll partake of communion. In communion, we recall his suffering. May we have a fresh revelation this morning of the power of God in the suffering of Jesus Christ. I don't want to sound redundant, but somebody needs to hear the report, because you'll find the report about weakness will give you strength, and the report about suffering will give you comfort. And the report about the ashes will give you a rebuilding of your life. Isaiah later said, he's come to appoint them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he might be glorified. Oh, one more time. He's revealed his power through the suffering of the cross. If you want a different message, you'll have to find a different pastor, because I have nothing else to preach about the need of our hearts. Because his power, I said his power is revealed through the suffering. And then, not only do we still have the report, not only do we still have the revelation of his power, but we still have the relief. Oh, hallelujah. Folks are under heavy loads. Could I tell you, the relief from your heavy load is in the fact that he carried the heaviest of loads. Let's look here. Look in verse 4. And as we look at this, I want you to notice the plural personal pronouns that refer to humanity. Listen to this. Surely he hath borne, here it is, our griefs. And carried what? Won't you just say the pronoun with me? Our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Help me out again. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for the chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of all. He bore it. We sing that old hymn. We need to break it out. He bore it all. How many really believes that this morning? He bore it all. Friend, if he bore it all, there's relief for the heavy load you're bearing. Oh, come on, church. I said, if he bore it all, there's relief for the heavy load you carry. Jesus bore it all. Hallelujah. All this suffering was for us. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. It's not just that having suffered, he can identify with us. It's that in having suffered, he literally bore our very sorrows, our very sins. He didn't just suffer so he could sympathize with us. He suffered in bearing that which causes us to suffer. We learn in this report, whether it's sin or sorrow, he is the man of grief who has carried it. Amen. It used to be a favorite story I told, and I heard somebody, I don't know if it's here, somebody tell it a while back, and it's just so simple. Amen. But it was that old man struggling down the road with a big load of firewood on his back, and the farmer's coming by with the wagon. You remember this story? Farmer's coming by with the wagon, and he sees the man and feels sorry for him, and his wagon's empty. And so he told the old man as he pulled over, he said, get him back in the wagon. I'll take you to your house. Amen. The old man got him back with the load of wood. And I'm speaking of, oh, just to know that he was lacking strength. Amen. He needed help. Amen. The man in the wagon, he chucked the reins, gave the command, and the animal started down the road. I don't know how far they went, half a mile or a mile, but he decided to look back and check on the man with the load of wood. He looked back, and sure enough, the man was sitting in the back of the wagon, but he had never laid down the wood. He still had the wood on his back, even though he would. Listen, if you're going to get it right in the wagon, put your wood in there. Amen. Hallelujah. If the wagon can carry you, it can carry your load too. Hallelujah. I said, if he can carry your sin, he can carry your sorrow. If he can carry your iniquity, amen, when you come to the Lord, let him carry it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's relief. I know it's heavy. I said, I know it's heavy, but there's relief. Amen. Thinking about carrying wood reminded me of another story about a missionary I heard years ago. Amen. He was up in years, been there for many, many years. Amen. He had some visitors, important visitors come from the headquarters to see the work. He's out showing them the work. They come in the countryside to a steep hill, and there's a lady, a national lady there. She has this huge load of wood on her back. There's people everywhere on that hill coming and going, but she's struggling to climb that hill. And this elderly missionary, he was sharing with the statesman from his religion that came to see the work, and suddenly he stopped in mid-sentence and he ran up to that lady, tapped her on the shoulder, grabbed her wood, and though he was up in years and there was a lot of younger folks around, he put that wood on his back and he climbed to the top of that hill. Amen. Later, those that came to visit said, why did you do something like that? Others could have helped him. And he said, yeah, but nobody else would. And he said, beside that, nobody should have to carry a load like that up a hill like that by themselves. I'm telling you, our Lord feels the same. He sees us struggling under the load, and he says, nobody should have to carry a load like that up a hill like that by themselves. Instead, he did it. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Aren't you glad for it this morning? One final point. I'm talking about the report we still have. One final thing. We still have the resurrection. You thought I had forgotten that. Talking about the cross and the suffering. And you can miss it when you read in Isaiah if you get in a hurry. Because it doesn't come at the end of 53. It comes in the preceding chapter of 52. Listen to what it says as 52 ends. Behold, my servant, the suffering servant, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled. Wait a minute. 53 said he's going to be killed. He's going to have iniquity on him. He's going to be bruised. His visage marred more. But wait a minute. He told us the ending first. After he's been bruised, after he's borne our sins, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. He's not going to be lying in that tomb forever. He's coming out of that tomb, and after the suffering, he's going to be exalted very high. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Oh, Isaiah told us when the suffering was over, he was going to be exalted. I'm telling you, he did suffer. He did die. He was put in the tomb. But 3 days later, there was a resurrection. And he whom the demons thought they had put down, he whom the Jewish leaders thought they had put down, he is exalted. He is resurrected. He is on high. He is high and lifted up far above all sin. Hallelujah. Principality, power, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And all things are under his feet. Would you come, music? And so, if he was suffering for our sins, our sorrow, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I want to tell you this morning, however you feel, hear me, with whatever you're struggling, whatever difficulties, could I tell you, if you'll keep believing the report, for you, there's a resurrection. I said, for you, there's a resurrection on the other side of the suffering. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, there's a resurrection on the other side. Even the worst of suffering, even the heaviest of loads, death, there is a resurrection on the other side. On the other side of sorrow is joy of resurrection. On the other side of pain is the power of resurrection. On the other side of the disfigurement is the healing of resurrection. On the other side of what looks like defeat is victory. Oh, hallelujah. How many's got an eternal view? Look, hallelujah, this morning. And could I suggest that for you too, amen, I said for you too, there is a resurrection on the other side of the suffering. Hallelujah. I said, who hath believed our report? I close with this. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but by the time I assumed the pastor of the church, Brother Vaughn was in the advanced stages of Parkinson's disease. And though he would still come, there was very little ability to communicate. And for a while, Brother Wilson, you know that the Vaughns would still come to prayer meeting. And he who had spoken and preached and prayed for folks basically just sat there in the stupor of that disease. But I'll never forget one prayer meeting. And oh, those prayer meetings. We got to praying for sick folks. And the prayer room was full. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving. And I don't know who said, I don't remember how it took place. But someone said, let's have Brother Vaughn pray. Somebody had a real need. Let's have Brother Vaughn pray. They went and got him. And again, he's in the stupor of the disease. They got him and brought him up to the person that needed prayer. But all of a sudden, he reached out his hand. He came out of that stupor. He began to pray and seek the Lord. I had this thought. You know how ridiculous that would have looked to a lot of folks? To have a sick person needing prayer and ask somebody in the stupor of a disease to come up and pray. That looks like foolishness. They must not have heard or must not have believed our report. We have a wounded healer. I want to tell you, it may not make sense to this world, but he who has holes in his hands lays them on the one that has a hole in their heart, and he heals. He that suffered so tremendously with a burden, he relieves the burden of those who believe the report. Have you believed the report? Amen. As the servers come, let's stand and praise him across the building. Could you just stand and worship him? Could you just stand and worship him? Would you worship him? It sounds disconnected, but the whole time I was preparing this message, I heard a fragment of another song. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus says, Jesus says, spread the tidings all around. Jesus says, who hath believed our report? Could I see your hand if you believe the report this morning? It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Oh, let's praise him. Hallelujah. We're going to serve you in a moment, but I want to encourage you, if you're here and you've not yet accepted the report, you've not allowed Christ to be your Savior, to carry your sins for you, I would like you at any point in the serving or after the serving, you come find a place to pray in these steps we use as an altar. And there'll be folks here to pray with you, because this report can change your life if you believe. Amen. God bless you, family, congregation of God. You could be saved. Wait till everyone is served. We'll partake together. please stand together? The bread that you hold symbolizes the brokenness of his body. And through it, he can heal the brokenness within. Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good report. You willingly came from heaven and let your body be broken. And have a relationship with you. Amen.
Amen. Let there be healing this morning, could you? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sing often, look what the Lord has done, and we think of the results. He healed my body. He touched my mind. But look what the Lord hath done. Think about the cause, the brokenness. We hold the cup that symbolizes his shed blood, that which brought death to him brings life to us. Think about that life this morning. Brother Casada, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Yes. Let's partake of the cup together. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Let's praise him. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we're worshiping the Lord, if you're here and you need Christ as Savior, I want to invite you to come right now. He'll save you this morning. This good news report will change your life for time and eternity. Do you need him? Amen. Do you need him across this building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That invitation is an open invitation as we sing. Amen. I've been trying to get away from this, but all through the service, I feel like we've been feeling like we need to sing a little bit of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we sing together? Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus. Could you sing it? Sing it, church. Sing it. Would you praise him one more time? Oh, how we need the rock. We need the rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A part of our Lord's Supper is to greet one another and express our love for our brothers and sisters. Would you do that before you leave? Would you greet one another, express your love? Hallelujah.